which linked us to the preceding verses in that chapter, the response of John the Baptist, who came as a babe to the Lord Jesus, actually sent his servants to the Lord Jesus asking questions. And then the responses of this generation and also the three cities who couldn't understand anything the Lord was doing. And we saw how in chapter 11 that it was at that time the Lord Jesus said this, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. I thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and you've revealed them on the babes. And we saw that the thrust of the message that the Lord Jesus was going to give in chapter 11, 25 through 30 was that there's only one way to know God, and that's through revelation. No man knows the Son save the Father, and no man knows the Father except the Son, and to whomsoever he will reveal him to, it says in that portion. And we saw on one hand we had the wise and the prudent, on the other hand we have the babes. The babes come in childlike dependence, admitting they know nothing and asking the Father to reveal what just happened, just like our own children. On the other hand, we have the wise and the prudent who, because they think they're wise and they're prudent, are seeking God and to know God that way. They're labored and heavy laden. They're burdened. They're seeking to find the unknowable because God hid it. You know, every Christmas we have a German tradition in our home. We're not Germans, but we do it. It's fun. Our kids have always looked forward to it. And even though they're now 28 and 23, they still want to do it. We hide a pickle in the Christmas tree. You don't do that? If they don't find it, next year you can find it. Whoever finds it gets to eat it. No, I'm just kidding. It's a ceramic pickle. And you get $10, or used to, now you get $20 because the kids have grown up, if you find the pickle. Betty's pretty good at hiding the pickle. But she can't hide things like God can. And so on one hand, you have those burdened, heavy-laden people trying to know God the impossible way. And on the other hand, you have those who come in childlike dependence. And listen, it's a great rest to know they're just going to come and let God reveal Himself to them. And we said that this answers the question of how to know God, and it answers the second question of what is the result of knowing God, and that's this, rest. I will rest you. I will cause you to rest. Now that raises the question, and that's why we said you have to always study the Scriptures in a context as it flows. How will He rest us? I mean, tonight if you were asked how does God rest His people, what would you say? The simple thing would be by revealing Himself. And that's how the rest takes place. In other words, when I as a Christian, or if you today are realizing that you have been trying to know God by your own devices and you're burdened and heavy laden and you're not having rest, the idea is you don't run out and try to create it. You go back to revelation on your knees and say, God, I've been foolish. You need to reveal yourself to me. And the hope of every believer is that He reveals them unto babes. That is the hope. He reveals Himself to babes. To come in childlike dependence is the hope of every believer. It's not according to IQ. It's not according to social class. It's not according to any personal skill. It's not something that I deserve or you deserve and you know God and I don't because you're a better person. It's simply we come with childlike dependence. But the question is how? And that's why chapter 12 verse 1 starts at that time. You see it? At that time. In other words, the Spirit of God isn't going to let us go from linking these things together. It is a continuation of the same thing. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day. Isn't that interesting? What does the word Sabbath mean in the Hebrew? Rest. So now he's going to answer in a visual illustration, how does God rest His people? The Sabbath day. The Sabbath day. I tell you, when you start to study Scriptures together, as the Spirit of God links them together, then you don't ever have a problem. And you get the full picture and you start to marvel, I know I do, as it's all linked together, at how God so wonderfully and marvelously has linked His Word together to teach us so simple. So in such simplicity, there's nothing very difficult about the Bible. It's a very simple truth, and yet it's very hard to understand because it's spiritually discerned. And so you come as a child spiritually trusting your father. Let's read chapter 12. Let's read verses 1 through 13. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Behold, thy disciples do eat that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him? How that he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them that were with him, but only for the priest? Or have you not read in the law how that the Sabbath days the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this meaneth, 'I will have mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. But when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had a hand withered, and asked him, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days that they might accuse him?' And he said unto them, 'What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much more then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days.' Then said he unto man, 'Stretch forth your hand.' And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as unto the other." So at that point, verse 14 says that the Pharisees went out, held counsel how they might destroy him. Turning point. This is all a turning point. Brethren, this is an exciting portion of Scripture because it has to do with the Sabbath day. I know that without a doubt. I don't believe that anyone here can argue that the context of these 14 or 13 verses is the Sabbath day. Verse 1, Jesus went through the Sabbath day. Verse 5, how that on the Sabbath day. Verse 8, on the Sabbath day. Verse 10, the Sabbath days. Verse 11, the Sabbath day. Verse 12, the Sabbath day. Rest, 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 rest. That's what he's talking about. Now he's going to give a living visual illustration. Now at first glance, at a very quick glance, it looks like these two events take place on the same Sabbath day. But if you were to look at Luke chapter 6, verse 6, you would find this, that it says they're on another Sabbath day. So that he eats the corn, and that, or they go through the cornfield, and then they heal the man with the withered hand, are on two different Sabbath days. But that's not a problem for you, is it, Matthew, that he doesn't say another day? God's writing, listen, your Bible is not chronological. Your Bible is logical. God is more concerned about you getting spiritual principles than having a history lesson. The greatest argument for unbelievers is they'll come to you and they'll try to prove how something is out of order and it isn't recorded the same way in the Gospels. And you just feel pity. You just want to look at them and smile and say, you know, if you only understood, God isn't trying to maintain accuracy to history. He's trying to write a spiritual book. And God is trying to teach us something here. It's about the Sabbath day. And so what he does differently here than Luke's is he just leaves out the word another because it doesn't matter. What matters is the two lessons, because the two lessons are on that the things that he does are going to teach us the how that God rests his people. They're going to be the two main illustrations of what God does, two things that God does. But I believe if we're going to understand this portion, we have to understand chapter 12, verse 8. We have to understand what it means when he says, "For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." Now let me just say a few things about the Sabbath day so we'll understand what the Sabbath day meant to a Jew. Somebody from the tribe of Judah. There are three words for them: Jew, Israelite, and Hebrew. And they all mean different things. Hebrew comes from Eber, the name of the man who was in the family before Abraham. And we find it means sojourner, one who comes from another place. We find the word Jew is from the word Judah, those who receive praise from men, from God and not from men. And we see that the word Israelite means one who lives under God's reign, or literally a prince with God. They despised the Sabbath. Now, that you might disagree with that and it might shock you, but until you start reading their writings, you'll start to understand. They literally did not want the Sabbath day to come. To their mind, the Sabbath was a day that God held like a club over their head so that they couldn't have any fun, and He would get His respect out of that day one day or another. And you know what? That has bred over into the years into Christianity, to where many believers, young believers, despise the Lord's Day, because on the Lord's Day we can't watch TV, and on the Lord's Day we can't do this, and on the Lord's Day I can't talk to my friends, and it's become a day where we just feel like God is punishing us. I mean, you read all about their Sabbath and their laws, and you read about the Talmud and their writings in the Talmud of all the laws that they answered. Or they added, I should say, to the law of God in the Old Testament. And you'll find this, that there were two sections on Sabbath laws in the Talmud. Two sections. Two, if we want to call them chapters, if that makes it simple. And it's been said that one rabbi alone took 1.5 years to go just to study the first section alone. That's how intense the rules were. You can't wear your shirt this color. You can't wear your shoes this way. You can't eat this. You can't do this. Everything that had to do with the Sabbath was, you can't do this. You can't do this. You can't do this. You can't do this. The man that led me to the Lord came from a very rigid background. And I remember when on Sunday, on the Lord's Day after meeting, talking to his kids, they despised it because they couldn't watch football. They couldn't watch TV. They didn't read a paper. They didn't even get a paper on Sunday. They didn't have this. They didn't do that. For them, Sunday was a day you just went home and sat on your bed. You wondered, what is God doing to us to punish us like this? This is a very important thing to understand what the Lord Jesus means by when He says the Son of Man is even Lord of the Sabbath. But you have to understand the mindset that they had. Man, the Sabbath came. It was, oh no. The fear that one of their 380,000 laws, or how many they had by that time that they'd added, the fear that they'd violate one, the fact they couldn't do what they were supposed to do, all the restrictions, all the fun was gone. It was like God was just holding this Sabbath over their head. They despised it. And it wasn't a very good day for them. What does He mean by the Lord is, the Son of Man is even Lord of the Sabbath? Well, if you'll look for a second to Mark chapter 3, I believe the Scripture can bring it all into view for us. If I can find it now. Excuse me, it's Mark chapter 2, verse 27. He said unto him, the Sabbath was not made for man. Excuse me, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. That explains what he means when he says that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Verse 27 says that you have to understand, in order to understand what he meant, you have to understand that the Sabbath was made for man. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath. Here's how the Jews evolved their thinking. The Sabbath was a day that God would get His holiness. He made man to acknowledge that holiness, so man was under the Sabbath. You understand that, what I just said? God's up here and He wants to reveal Himself as a holy God. So what He does is this, He makes the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is going to show His uniqueness, and then He made man and put him under the Sabbath so that this man was made for the Sabbath. So man alive, if you ever did anything good for another person on the Sabbath that violated the Sabbath, you were in trouble. Healing a withered arm, healing the blind, casting out a demon, doing anything wrong. Because it was God's Sabbath that was more important, not man. Now the Lord Jesus is going to bring this all into focus. Why did the Lord Jesus, and we have to answer this question if we do anything tonight, say, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Now, here's the way I thought about it for many years. I even have it written in the margin of my Bible. Well, I'll have to change it. That's what they make white out for. I always taught it this way. Because He's God, He can change His ceremonial laws. And since the Sabbath has nothing to do with His moral law or His character, He can change it. Have you ever heard that? In other words, there are some things in the Bible that directly affect or break God's moral character. The ceremonial law of the Sabbath was just that. So, if the Lord Jesus, being God, wanted to change it, He could change it. Therefore, He did. And when He's saying He is Lord of the Sabbath, He's saying, I am Lord over the Sabbath because I'm God. He does not say that. Do you read that in that context in Mark? Does He say, I am God, therefore I am Lord of the Sabbath? On the contrary, He says this, the Son of Man is Lord of the harvest. Now, when you hear the title, the Lord Jesus saying, I'm Son of Man, what does He mean? The answer is simply this. As man, as Son of Man, He is representative of every man. True? Isn't that what it means? When He takes the title Son of Man, He represents every man. When He's given Son of God, He represents the Godhead. So if it says something about His Godhead, you know it's true of the Father and the Holy Spirit and Himself, right? Are you still with me? So when He says, I am representative of men, Son of Man, and I am Lord of the harvest, Lord of the Sabbath, what is He saying? Do you want me to translate it? He is saying, you as a man are also Lord of the Sabbath, because the Sabbath was made for you, not you for it. Ooh, you say that sounds unbiblical. I'm glad you think that way. Because what you're showing me is you thought the same way the Jews did. And it's wrong. The Lord Jesus says, I represent all men. And because the Sabbath was made for all men, not men for the Sabbath, man is Lord over the Sabbath. It is His rule. It is His for His possession, not the Sabbath for Him. You say, I don't know if I really understand that. I don't know if that's true. Well, stick with me. Hopefully we can make it clear. Now, let's just remind ourselves what the spirit of the Sabbath was always intended to be. Why was there a Sabbath? You say there wasn't a Sabbath. I'm glad you said that, because there wasn't a Sabbath. There were Sabbaths. True? Man, they had more Sabbaths than we have bowl games now. And believe me, when a 6-5 team can get a bid to a bowl game, we've got plenty of them. And that's exactly what's happening nowadays. Sabbath means rest. Now let's go back over the history of the Sabbath and see if we can't understand what God intended, because like everything, sin came in and took what God intended in the beginning and does what? Turn it 180 degrees around. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus said? You think the Sabbath is Lord over you. I'm telling you, man is Lord over the Sabbath. Sin just turns things upside down. And that's why we constantly have to be in the Word of God. Here's the intent of the Sabbath. The word Sabbath means rest. Do you know it's the intent of God's heart that when He created man, that man rest? You say, why did He tell him to go in the garden and work? Because, listen, that would have been rest too if he hadn't sinned. It would have been enjoyable. I mean, that's just the way it is. What did God do? Here's what He did. God created in 6 days. And on the sixth day, He created man. What was man's first full day on this earth? What number? 7. Which God said He rested and said, man, now you rest. His first whole day on earth was rest. God is saying right from the very beginning, it is the heart of God that you rest. Well, you say, well, good. That's what I want to do. Put me on welfare. That's not what He's talking about. What does rest mean? Here's what rest means. God on day one did this, day two did this, day three did this. When he got done with his finished physical creatorial work, it says in Genesis chapter 1:31, they had looked upon all that he had ever made, and it was all very good, including man, including everything. And it says God said he rested. He didn't cease from activity. He just figured he'd sit around and enjoy it. Enjoy his finished work of creation. And he says, you know what? Man, I want you to enter into. To rest with God and enter into his rest. Hebrews 3 and 4 is very clear. We don't create our rest and we don't receive our rest. We enter into his rest. The rest is his. So he intended man to pull up the old lawn chair next to him and just say on the seventh day, you know what, I think I'll just sit around and rest and enjoy. If you say it's good, I agree with it. It's all good. And I'm going to enjoy it too and I'm going to be satisfied. And that's how he rested. Rest is simply saying, God, you finished your work. Your work is good. I agree. Amen. I'm going to enjoy it too. The Sabbath was always intended to be a day when you enjoyed it, when you enjoy the things God has done, when it was a joy to enter into all the things that God had created. The first Sabbath was a physical day in which you entered into the joy of all God ever did, the finished creative work. But God was a smart, God, I shouldn't say was smart, God is very intelligent. He knew sin came in and he knew what man would do. He knew man was slow. He knew man would distort it. And so what he did was this. He said, now in the month, we're going to have a Sabbath too called the new moon. Because I want you to understand how important rest is. And then he said, if that's not enough and you still don't understand, we're going to have a week of months. And on the seventh month, the whole month will be the Feast of Trumpets. It's going to be a Sabbath too. So you had a day, one in a day. You had one in a week. You had one in a month. And if that wasn't enough, in the Day of Atonement, once a year, it was a Sabbath too. And so you had a Sabbath in the year. And then you had Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. And then you had Passover, 7 days of Sabbath. And you had a great feast, the Feast of the Tabernacles. And then, listen, if that's not enough, you had a Sabbath year. Every 7 years was a Sabbath year. And listen, you had to cease from your labor, trust God in the sixth year to produce twice as much so that you didn't do anything but just enter in and enjoy God. And enjoy all that he's ever done. And enjoy all he's ever created. And if that wasn't enough, he said, well, let's have the Feast of Jubilee in every 50th year. But then you say, wait a second. Not only is the 50th year the year of Jubilee a Sabbath, but 49 is seven sevens. That would have been a Sabbath. So in the 48th year, he would have had to trust God for 2 years. Well, I'm glad I don't live under the law. Some of us can't trust God for a day. And they had to do it for 2 years to provide. Some people say, I like that. Let's take 2 years off. My intent in doing all this is that God keeps saying to man, all I want you to do is rest and enter into rest and enjoy me and enjoy what I've done. And you know, it doesn't stop there. Because not only is there a Sabbath rest in creation and all these Sabbaths all through the Old Testament, Hebrews says there now remaineth a Sabbath rest for the people of God because of the finished work of Christ. And how you enter into that is you sit back with God the Father and say, if his death pleased you, it pleases me. And we sit back and we cease from our labor. We don't try to save ourselves. We don't try to keep ourselves. We don't try to glorify ourselves. We enter into that rest. We just sit back and agree at amen when God says, look at my son. Isn't his death pleasing? Amen. That's what Peter talks about. He says this. Look at 1 Peter 4 just for a moment. This is exactly what Peter is talking about. In 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 6 is, chapter 2 of 1 Peter 6 is what God the Father says through the Scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief stone, a cornerstone, elect, chosen by me, and precious. Verse 7, what do we say? Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Believers just simply agree with God, whatever they say. Listen, to enter into his rest as a Christian means you just sit back next to God and you open your Bible and it says, look at my son, isn't he pleasing? Yeah, his life was pleasing, isn't it? Oh yeah, his death is pleasing too. And look at that, his resurrection's pleasing. And you know what? He's in heaven now, and that's his ministry is pleasing. And you know what? He's going to bring us to heaven, and that's going to be pleasing. And we cease from all kinds of labor, and we just enjoy the things that God enjoys. That's rest. Whether it's the creation physical work and entering into it, or whether it is the finished work of Christ on the cross, we just enter in and we just agree with God. Just amen. See, that's why it's not wrong to say amen. It's not wrong. God says something, we just say amen. God says, thank you, that's pleasing to me. You're agreeing with me, you're entering to rest. If you don't, then you start doing things and you start laboring, and then all of a sudden you don't know what the Sabbath is about. That's what happened to them. The Pharisees turned it around. Listen, is it any wonder that this teaching follows chapter 11 when it says in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will rest you. And you will find, verse 29, rest in your souls. Of course not. He just carries it on and says, now here's, you've been mistaken all your life, Pharisees. You're Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and your elders and your priests, and you don't even know me because sin has made you develop a system where you don't even agree with the Father on what's pleasing anymore. You can't even enter in. He'll go on to say, Abraham knew. Abraham, he believed, he saw it. You say you're of your father Abraham, you'd believe if you did. You're not entering into the things and agreeing with God the Father. The Pharisees turned everything around. It became a bad list. The traditions became overbearing. The Sabbath was just a burden day to them. It was terrible to them. I mean, just think about it. The laws that they have. And we all know about the laws. You've heard about them when people talk about the Sabbath. Here it's they couldn't pluck ear. Well, they could pluck the ear of corn according to the Sabbath, but they couldn't glean, they couldn't get the corn off the, what did that would be called? They could glean it, but they couldn't thrash it. Okay, they'd have to leave it on the husk. And you know, and it even says in the Old Testament that they could eat it, which wasn't wrong, but they could only eat what they needed. They couldn't carry any out. Why? Not because they couldn't do any work, because they had to trust God for the next one. But they distorted the whole thing. So now they say you can't do any work, and if you have sandals with nails in them, that's carrying a burden, and you can't do that, that's breaking the Sabbath. They add that one. They say, you know, you can't wear open-toed sandals on the Sabbath, because if you stub your toe and you drag in the dirt, that's considered plowing. Yeah, silly, isn't it? But you know what? We're just as silly sometimes with what we develop. I mean, in Christianity, we've got silly things sometimes. Now, I'm not trying to make license for us to go out and do whatever we want. It's just the opposite. It's when I know and I study the Scriptures and I see what's pleasing to the Father, I just agree with what's really pleasing. You think wearing open-toed shoes on a Sabbath is displeasing to the Father? No, it's not. What was their problem? Let me ask this question. How did they get in this mess? It's the same way we get in this mess. What did he talk about that we heard about this morning? What preceded this? What causes rest? How do we know, understand, and know God? One word. Revelation. Let me show you how they got into this mess. You know, you read all kinds of commentaries on how critical the Lord Jesus was to them. And how sarcastic he was to them. Because listen what he said to those people of the law. Verse 5. Have you not read? Verse 3. Have you not read? And they say he's being sarcastic. Those are scribes. Those are Pharisees. Those are Sadducees. Listen, those scribes, all they did, their ministry was writing the word over and over again. They didn't have a Xerox machine or a fax machine. Or a computer that they could put it in and then print it out 100 copies. They sat there and did by hand, by hand, by hand, by hand. And he tells them, have you not read? Are you kidding me? I must have copied that 100 times in the last 10 years. The Lord isn't being sarcastic, brethren. I don't believe the Lord Jesus would ever do that. I believe the Lord Jesus was trying to teach them what their problem was. Okay, let me show you what it is. How do they get that way? How do we get that way? Because we lack revelation. Look at verse 3. But then he said unto them, have you not read what David did? Verse 5. Or have you not read in the law
Now watch verse 7. But if you had known what it meant. Oh, now I understand. He's saying, you guys have been reading your Bible and the whole time you haven't understood what it meant. Brethren, don't say poor souls to them, because it happens to us. When we do not come with childlike faith as a baby, simply saying to the Lord, what does this mean? They've got into this way. The Sabbath got turned 180 degrees around. Now watch, here's a spiritual principle for you. When you come to the Bible and get the facts without the principle, like they did about the Sabbath, but they didn't know what it meant, that means they didn't get the spiritual principle. They knew about the Sabbath, they knew the laws of the Sabbath, but they didn't get the principle of the Sabbath, which was rest. When you get the facts of something without the principle in the Bible, it will always work 180 degrees against what the principle says. God intended the Sabbath and the principle to be rest, but since they only got the facts, it went 180 degrees against rest, and they couldn't rest on the Sabbath. They walked on eggshells, and they were afraid to do things, and it was they didn't rest one bit. And they never entered into rest, which was agreeing to God on the things that please God, and it was just a burden to them. And that can happen to us too. When we come to the Word of God to get all kinds of things out the wrong way, man, I tell you, the only thing he had to write here to them was those three verses. Have you not read? Oh yeah. And he wouldn't dispute it. I know you've read it. Or did you not read in the law? Oh yeah. But if you would have known what it meant. Man. What do you mean we don't know what it meant? Look at your life. When the Word is here and it never gets there, you're in big trouble. And that's when it goes right against itself. And brethren, that's why we destroy each other over doctrine. And that's why we destroy each other over the Word of God, because we never understand the principle for which it was intended, and that is sound or life-giving doctrine. Brethren, we've got to get principles out of the Word of God and not facts. We've got to know what God intended from that verse in my life spiritually, and that only comes by revelation. You see, anyone can pick up a Bible and read, "Thou shalt not kill." But they'll never understand the principle behind it, which is what? You shall forgive. Isn't that the principle? Why do people murder people? Because they, starts with H and rhymes with eight. They hate them. That's why my mom said to me, don't ever use the word hate. It means you could kill. So I never say I could hate broccoli. I could kill it. Don't ever say you're going to hate liver. That means you could kill it. I could do that now. Now, do you understand? There are principles behind here. The Lord Jesus is simply saying what a tragedy it is for people to read the recorded Word and never understand what God intended of it. Listen, the letter of the law kills. The spirit of the law gives life. And brethren, that's what we want. We want, don't you? I want the spirit of the law. I want the principle, and I want it real in my life. I don't want a bunch of head facts. I don't want to. People will come to me sometimes and say, well, what about this? I don't know. And I don't try to intend like I know. And they'll say, well, how about ministering tonight on this? I'll say, I haven't studied that in years. I read it. Well, and when you read it, don't you understand it? Not necessarily. I'll be just as bad as them. Yes, I read it. Yes, I read it. But if I would have known what it meant. I've got to get light from the Lord on it. That's where the principle comes from. See, he's just driving home. You're in this trouble because you don't have revelation. You've been seeking man's ways and the prudent ways and the wise ways. And listen, in things of the world and natural things, they're okay. But in spiritual things, you need the spiritual principles. They come from God, from the Holy Spirit. The letter kills. The Spirit gives life. Don't settle for facts when you read your Bible. Please ask God for the principle. And that only comes from revelation. Now,
for the sake of time, we only have 4 minutes. These two stories, the walking in the field and the healing of this man, go right to the heart and the spirit of the Sabbath, and they answer this question. You're probably wondering where we get on this. How does God do it? How does God do it? Well, the first one in chapter 12, verses 1 through 7, we find this, that David feeds his men on the Sabbath. And then he says this, don't you know even the priest did that? And I say to you, a greater than the temple is here. Oh. I believe what the Lord Jesus does in the feeding of those his disciples and the using of David and feeding his men the showbread says this, the way that God rests his people is by him feeding them. Is that simple? I mean, don't look for anything real difficult here. Where are you getting fed spiritually from? Where are you getting fed? If you're not getting fed spiritually from the Lord, and it's by revelation, then you're not going to enjoy rest. How does God rest you? He feeds you. You know how great it is to be a child? You know what? No more I think about it, I wish I was a child again. Maybe that's why I act foolish sometimes. And I have to be reminded, you're an adult now, act like an adult. You know how free it is? When we're young adults, listen, if you're here today, and I'll talk to the Grimberg people, because I know there are young people there somewhere. Now watch, if you're here and you're young, and there's more than them, so listen to me. You are more free when you're young than you are when you're old. The lie of the devil is, man, don't you? When you get older, you're going to be free. So man, just rebel and get out of that house. Let me tell you, you're no freer when you're a child than any other time of your life. When I was a child, I never got up worried about, wonder what I'm going to eat for dinner tonight. Wonder what I'm going to cook. Man, go out on your own. Have to cook for yourself. Man, mom and daddy are going to feed you. My kids never ever wondered about eating. They only said, what are we having? Why do we stop in the spiritual realm? Why do we not think God the Father is not going to feed us? Why do we not think the Lord Jesus isn't going to reveal Himself? We're babes. That's what He's talking about, feeding. He's saying, listen, the way I rest you is I feed you. Not what you want and when you want it and how much you want it, just like in life. But listen, I'm going to give you the revelation you need at the time, at that moment, for your life, for your walk, for whatever I intend for you, and that's freedom and that's rest. You know the only way you're free as a young person? All the laws that you live under. Oh, you say, I'm bound by all those laws. No, you're not. When I was a young person, I never had to worry about buying clothes and what I was going to wear. Mom said, put this on. That's what you're going to wear today. I never had to worry about what time should I come home tonight. Mom said, be in by 8. I never had to worry about anything. Yeah, that's freedom. Boy, how the devil turns things around, doesn't he? If you're free, do it. No, if you're free, you're free because you're not under all those things. Mom, what do you want me to do? Fine, thank you, that's it. Wow, that was simple. And then look at this, the healing of the man on the with a withered hand on the Sabbath day. The second thing the Lord does is this, He heals a man. A man created in the image of God, a sheep who is temporal. Which is more important? You are. The second principle is this, we allow the Lord to enable us. That's what He did to the man. That man couldn't do anything with that hand. We have two young ladies in wheelchairs in our school. They have cerebral palsy, each at different levels. Both have very smart minds. They're A students, very smart. Janelle and Jennifer. And the beginning of the year, last year when they came in, I told their aides, don't feed them. Because if there's one way to get them into therapy, put their food in front of them and say, go. And it's true. And they feed themselves now. I said, don't push that joystick. Let them do it. And they do it. They bang into things, but they wouldn't bang into anything if they didn't try it. And then when I see them, I always bring them something. They love candy bars. I say, got a candy bar for you. I'm not putting it down on your tray. You got to take it from me. That man with a withered hand, man, how long did he want to move that hand? Couldn't do it on his own. No rest, just struggle. I'm going to do this. It was the last thing I do. A lot of Christians are that way. Watch. This man finally realizes this. I got to go to the Lord with this. He enabled him to do it. What freedom is there? Let the Lord enable you. Let the Lord enable you. Let the Lord feed you. Let the Lord enable you. That's the heart of the Sabbath. The heart of the Sabbath was this. What was that the Lord Jesus, that God the Father, wanted man to enjoy Him and to enjoy the things He does and the things He makes. And so he simply made certain days and months and years so that he would.
The heart of God in the Sabbath was for man to enter into things that please God and make it a day of rest. How do we do that? Every day by letting Him feed us and enabling us. It's that simple. And if you're perplexed with no rest, it's because He's not feeding you or you're not letting Him enable you. And you're just in a tizzy. And your walk with the Lord becomes a burden, and you become burdened, and you're yoked, and it's terrible. Now don't run out of here and try and correct it on your own. Go back home and open your Bible and say, Lord, reveal yourself. But realize this, the very fact that you're burdened, and you know it, means that God revealed that to you tonight, didn't He? And so you just thank Him, get on your knees and confess it, and say, from here on out, Lord, I'm just trusting you to reveal yourself to me, and whatever happens, I'm going to rest and enjoy it. And then let God feed you and let God enable you, and you'll say like Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for speaking to our hearts again. There's something about our flesh that wants to get involved in everything we do. We want to feed ourselves. We want to do everything ourselves. And our Father, it burdens us. We try to know God by our own rules and with our own flesh and our own wisdom and our own prudence. And Father, we confess that. There's just something about our flesh. What a joyous day it's going to be when these bodies will be put away. And we'll receive spiritual bodies. Oh, our Father, what a wonderful time. But until then, our Father, we come as babes. We come as babes for the revelation of Christ, because no man knows the Son except the Father. We ask that through your Spirit you would reveal Him. And Father, that He would feed us and that He would enable us and we would enter into the joy of the Sabbath rest, that we might enjoy the things that please your heart. And we know this, that it's the Lord Jesus only. That it was your will and your plan that in all things Christ might have the preeminence, because He is your well-beloved Son, the one in whom you are well pleased. And so we would enter into His rest. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.